glory to him, folks. To God be the glory. Thought it'd be a little cozier and sounding more like you're not everybody's singing solos out there in the main part. But let me know what you think. We are having some issues with the, we're going back to the old phone on Facebook, getting that in order. But for some reason, Facebook is not letting us do a landscape look. It just wants it straight up and down. So I'm not sure. You know what's going on? I thought something was wrong with my phone, and Ricky came up and did the same thing with his phone. So evidently there's some issue there with Facebook now. But at any rate, here we go. I just turned the heat up. Be patient.
Thank you.
Would you like for somebody to sit next to you and put their arm around you?
I got my hands on the
buttons. Okay. All right, let's see. We've had four people that hadn't complained tonight.
That's not a complaint. It was a fact.
I'm not ashamed to admit my knowledge of opera begins and ends with a handful of Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Especially Wagner's.
They had awesome stuff back then.
Yeah.
Remember when you couldn't wake up for school, but Saturday morning you were up at 6 getting ready for cartoons?
Oh, yeah.
My brother hit the loved or liked or, you know, made a comment about it. We would get up, try to get up earlier than the other one, fighting over the middle of the couch. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I'd get one arm, he'd get the other arm, and, I mean, we would fight anyway. Rip, logic. Ducks eating chicken.
Oh, dear.
Little known fact, before Thing was an actor, he was a stagehand.
Oh, my. Sorry.
Why you can never tell the dog a knock-knock joke. Two of the greatest qualities to have in life are patience and wisdom.
Amen.
That's right.
Josh stayed up at the cabin the night before last. He got down to 18 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And all he had was my little shop heater that runs off of propane, and I think it's probably about a 10 or 15 BTU heater. Mm-hmm. He froze to death, and my daughter took that baby up there.
Ooh.
You know, it got down to freezing last night up there anyway. Mm. They did go out and get a bigger heater. At our age, rolling out of bed in the morning is easy. Getting up off the floor is another story.
Yep.
Bought this old prison bus and 50 orange jumpsuits. Now I need 50 friends to put them on so we can go to Walmart parking lot, jump out and run off. This is the last time I go on a blind date.
Oh, my goodness. Mm.
A recent study found that people who go fishing catch more fish than those who don't go fishing.
Yeah, isn't that logical?
Duh.
You know what they say when the day is done? It's night.
Yeah.
The official winner of the Not My Job contest.
We have a lot of that on
Carter Wood. I bet. I take good care of my human. Poor Thing can't hunt for herself. And it's a treat for me seeing how excited she gets shrieking and dancing
on the
thing. I was working a softball game at on Egypt Road down on Mount Pleasant, that big sports complex. And I was behind the plate, and I happened to notice in the tree there was an eagle. And in between pitches, I'd look up to see what the eagle was doing. This eagle dove down, straight down out of like 50 feet up out of a pine tree, went down, messed around on the ground a little bit. When it went back up, had a snake in it. Of course, I was paying close attention to the ball game.
Yeah, right.
I'm at the age where I won't make eye contact with someone because they look like a talker.
True.
Me after watching 12 minutes of MasterChef. Here's a joke for all the mind readers out there.
Oh,
I got that.
I'm not
going
to get away. Too bad.
Just how much have you been spending in this store, Susan?
Oh,
Bill says that's me.
Which store?
Anyone. Well,
I ordered my monthly supply of paper and two packs of paper and some other things, and some other people order stuff. My wife comes home from work today. She texts me. She says, it looks like we're having a yard sale. Amazon and UPS, and we have like six packages on the front porch.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what you want.
That's mean.
No, it's not.
I can see Miss Patty doing that.
Yeah, I can too.
Not me.
Back up. You opened that bag yesterday. You really expect me to eat leftovers?
I want to go.
Yeah, that sounds like a cat.
Yep. Bob, you got to see this guy. He could be your twin.
Oh, Jesus.
It's a bank holdup and I'm wearing masks. And
he's calling names out.
Alarm system is turned off. A rare photograph of Batman's grandmother. She was commonly known as that old bat. Amazonasia.
When
you forget what you've ordered. I need this outfit so I can walk through my house and dust it. There's one or two seats toward the back, but the good back seats are. Mom getting kids ready for church.
Yeah.
Mom at church. That's
pretty good.
It's been a rough week, but I made it. How about you? I like it. I spent 5 minutes trying to figure out who Tom is and what his onion picking skills had to do with my sandwich. Must let Tom pick onion. Touching wires causes instant death. $200 fine. This product contains peanuts.
How about that?
Offspring. If you can read this with ease, then you are incredibly talented at reading backwards, which is an incredibly pointless talent. There was another one came up right after that on Facebook that had it upside down and backwards.
Yep. And if you could upside read that,
down,
yeah.
They had to start from the bottom during the time. Abundance, a very large dance held at a croissant bakery.
Oh my.
Abundance. People are shocked when they find out I'm not a very good electrician. Alright. Woman feels discriminated by KFC over lack of meat-free options. And this guy down here, he said, I can completely sympathize. The other day I went to World of Carpet to buy a new telescope, but was astounded and disgusted at the complete lack of optical equipment. It's almost as if they had purposely set out to satisfy the needs of carpet buyers, but deliberately snubbed those who weren't. Utter madness. Maybe we do need artificial intelligence. I just bought a book from IKEA. My doctor told me to eat more greens, so I went on a diet. And that's all I'm for now.
That's your budget.
Father, thank you for the day, for your blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us the privilege of being able to get into your word and to live in a society that's still free. I thank you for the opportunity to be a blessing to others. Help us to be that. Help us, Lord, to be blessed tonight for having been here. And we'll be careful to give you the praise for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Have a letter.
I have
a letter. It's kind of interesting. It says, Dear Ma and Pa, nothing spiritual about this letter, just a letter. I'm here at Fort Rucker, Alabama, doing fine. Burke is here too. Am well, hope you are. Tell Brother Walt and Brother Elmer the Army beats working for old man Mitch in a mile. Tell them to join up quick before maybe all the places are filled. I was restless at first because you got to stay in bed till nearly 6 a.m., but I'm getting so I like to sleep late. Tell Walton Elmer all you do before breakfast is smooth your cot and shine some things. Little hogs to slop, feed to pitch, mash to mix, wood to split, fire to lay. Practically nothing. Men got to shave, but it's not bad. They get warm water. Breakfast is strong on trimmings like fruit juice, cereal, eggs, bacon, etc. But kind of weak on chops, potatoes, beef, ham, steak, fried eggplant, pie, and regular food. But tell Walton Elmer you can always sit between two city boys that live on coffee. Their food plus yours holds you out till noon when you get fed again. It's no wonder these city boys can't walk much. We go on route marches, which the sergeant says are long walks to harden us. If you think so, it's not my place to tell him different. A route march is about as far as to our mailbox at home. Then the city guys all get sore feet and we ride back in trucks. Country is nice, but awful flat. The sergeant is like a school teacher. He nags some. The captain is like the school board, colonels and generals. Just ride around and frown. They don't bother you none. This next will kill Walton Elmer with laughing. I keep getting medals for shooting. I don't know why. The bullseye is near as big as a chipmunk, and it don't move. And it ain't shooting at you like the Higgins boys at home. All you got to do is lie there, all comfortable, and hit it. You don't even load your own cartridges. They come in boxes. Be sure to tell Walton Elmer to hurry and join before other fellows get onto this setup and come stampeding in. Your loving daughter, Gail. Speaking of shooting, enclosed is the $200 for barn roof and Ma's tea. Them city boys shoot crap, but not very good. Anyhow, nothing frisky about it, but you know, on the serious side, we do need to pray for our troops.
Yeah.
I don't think we think about it often, but they are at war.
Yeah.
Seriously, they're in very dangerous situations, and their lives are at stake. And our country needs our prayers. And especially with election coming up, we've been praying for, not necessarily for a Christian leader, it would be nice, but for somebody that knows what they're doing and really cares about our country. Singing wise, let's go to page 46, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Did you like how that first song sounded?
Yeah.
Oh,
Something that I don't remember them ever having before. It's called a senior adult retreat. And I think I'm going to plan on going to that one instead of the men's retreat, because the men's retreat is April 5th and 6th, and our 50th class reunion is April 6th. But this is one where you can go, you and your wife can go. It's $139 per person. It's $189 per couple. And if you're a couple and you don't want to be in the same room, you can do that too.
There's a bunch of old people there.
I'm going to a 50th class reunion. I started looking at pictures of these people on Facebook. I went to school with a bunch of old people. Miss Markle, there was a picture of her that Gay Wynn put up on Facebook today. She turned 100 yesterday. She was my English teacher, senior English, British Lit teacher at Bob Jones Academy. She was one of the most organized people I have ever seen in my life. She could have a lecture, a video presentation, and a quiz all in the same period. And she did not put up with any tomfoolery at all. But she taught at Bob Jones Academy, senior English, for 53 years. Taught for 53 years. Anyway, never married. Never married. Just a wonderful lady. Anyway, we are talking about the life of Christ, and we're wanting to do some things where we're talking about His role as a shepherd, as He begins to reveal Himself to others. But He knew from the beginning what his ministry was going to be. And he had a twofold ministry. One was to spread the gospel of the kingdom. It was to set up the kingdom. And, you know, there's debates back and forth all over the place about whether or not he would have set it up at that time, but no, he would not. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And the kingdom that he set up on earth was one that was done in our hearts as we believe. We are offered that opportunity to be a part of his kingdom, but it's more than just a kingdom. It's a family. John 8, verse 44, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he accused them and he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." In other words, before salvation, we all take after our father, which is Satan himself. So we find the Lord Jesus Christ coming to rescue us from this, to lead Israel specifically into God's kingdom. What were they looking for, the Israelites? Do you remember?
A king,
a political leader, someone who would deliver them from the power of Rome, someone who would set them free. And there were a lot of them who I believe were looking for a socialistic dictator. They would come out and eat all his food, and then when the heat came in, they'd go run and hide. But he fed thousands and healed thousands and raised probably more than we know that he raised. But he was wanting to lead them into God's kingdom. He was also coming to seek and to save the lost. And when you're reading through the book of Matthew, because Matthew is specifically written toward the Jewish people, it presents Jesus Christ as the King of the Jews. So when you read the first several chapters of that, Jesus' ministry was specifically aimed at the Jewish nation. It changed about halfway through the book when he was run out of the synagogues and run out of the temple, and when he was refused by the religious leaders. He went out into the highways and hedges and began speaking and teaching to those that were... I missed my little computer sitting here. There it is. But he was known by many titles. Here's some of the titles. He was known as King. Even the Roman government put this moniker on him when they hanged him on the cross in three different languages, I believe it was. They put the title that said, "The King of the Jews." So he was known as a king, and by being the king, he was the ruler. He was called Master. Master was the one that was in charge. He was the one that led things. He was the one that set things up. He was the one who would delegate stuff. He was also known as Rabbi. And I'll put this one up too, because there's a difference between the terms rabbi and teacher. Because rabbi generally spoke about someone who was formally educated. Someone who had gone to the schools, who had learned the doctrines and all those kind of things from the teachers. And the disciples were chided on more than one occasion because how in the world could they, you know, teach what they were teaching because they had not been to school formally? How could Jesus teach what he was teaching because he had never been, you know, commissioned as such? Said, how does he know this stuff? By what authority? But our Lord was teaching by the authority of God the Father. The word teacher is just someone who instructs. It could have been a coach. It could have been someone who taught other things. And then he was known as Lord, the one to whom we bow. This is the one that we give our allegiance to. And if he says jump, we say how high and when. This is what the word Lord means. His favorite description of himself, what would you think?
Son of man.
He was the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. He was God himself. Applied on earth. Don't think he liked shepherd too. Shepherd. After John the Baptist introduced him, people of all walks of life flocked to him. They just gathered around, all around. And when he saw these people, Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We threw y'all a curve, didn't we?
Yes.
Can you move that? Thanks. I like this. We may have outgrown our space. That's cool.
Do you have more of these?
I have a warrant.
There's some more behind you.
Ma'am?
Isn't it?
No, that's Richard Little Bush. But, at any rate, he's a good shepherd. John chapter 10. Verses 1 through 3, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Anytime you have an allegorical statement or parable or some type of an analogy, a metaphor, simile, you're going to find that it's generally teaching one specific truth. You can't go into parables and take every single line and make them say something, but you take the overall parable to teach what's going on. With that in mind, I'm probably going to get myself in trouble with this, but when I'm in trouble, I kind of enjoy the fellowship that I have with all the rest of the folks in trouble. He had just finished a very intense conversation with the Pharisees. You remember? From last week, he had healed this guy, on the Sabbath. The man was blind, and the Pharisees came in and jumped on him and just, chewed him up, spit him out. And Jesus had just come through that, and now he's moving on to something else. The Pharisees, because of their education and because of their standing in society, they were the self-pronounced spiritual shepherds of the people of Israel. They wanted to be called Lord. They wanted to be called Father. They wanted to be called Master. They wanted people to, when they walked by, everybody stand there in awe and, just, wow, these people are so awesome and great. But there was a problem there, and there's no one on earth that we should hold up in that kind of esteem. Nobody. The only one that deserves that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They had spent much energy denying Jesus' miracle of healing the blind man. Wouldn't it be great if Christians in all walks of life would spend as much energy being a positive influence of Christ as they do being nitpicky and sour? It'd be such an awesome experience to have that kind of a situation. So, who are the shepherd? Who are the sheep? Who are the sheep? The sheepfold will liken to the kingdom of God. And some of these things will fall apart, I'm sure, but this might help give us an idea of overall context of what's going on here. The sheep are God's people. The shepherd would, of course, be Jesus. He is a good shepherd. He is a great shepherd. He's the one that gives his life for his sheep. The thief and the robber, several comments about them. First, they would be the leaders who would exploit the flock for selfish purposes. There was a picture of a world-class soccer player. I don't remember his name. I think he was from one of the African countries. But he played soccer with worn-out shoes. He did not fly on private jets and things, but he could afford anything. His nation would have given him anything that he wanted. He could have lived in the lap of luxury. But he gave all his money away to his countrymen. He said, how can I enjoy these things when I have people that I grew up with that are hungry? There are some preachers that just drive me nuts. They have their own private jets. They have their limousines. And some of them that are not pastors of any large congregation to speak of. But they milk the people dry. And they'll give an account to God for that. How they spent their money, what they used it for, the waste they've had. I wonder what it's going to be like on Judgment Day when some of the stars, the Hollywood stars, meet Jesus face to face and have to give an account for why they were so derogatory and mean about the common people flying on jets when they own their own Boeing 737s. There's going to be a lot of ashamed faces. And I had a guy came, it was last Wednesday. I didn't have any money on me, so I didn't lie to him. He asked me for some money. He said, I was the guy that came around last year. You gave me some money last year. I said, well, I don't have any money on me this year. And I said, the church doesn't have any money. We don't keep money here. We make deposits. And he said, how can you drive around in that car, that sports car? I said, my sports car is 10 years old. I said, it's got 130,000 miles on it. He said, oh. But we're going to give an account for what we do, how we lived, how we invested our money, what we did as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. These thieves and robbers were ones that victimized rather than protected and nurtured. The shepherd should not be the one that bleeds the people. There are times when he has to shear the sheep, but you know, shearing sheep is for their own good. If you don't shear sheep, they'll get so much wool that they'll suffocate under their own heat exhaustion. But he will do that. But he's there to protect. And I'm here to tell you, sheep are not the easiest animals in the world to tend to. We had, early on in our days of having sheep, we had one that got sick. We called the vet. And the comment he made to my wife was, a sick sheep is
a dead sheep.
If they get sick, there's not a whole lot you can do for it. But they get worms in their nose. They're just sickly little animals. And our Lord did not compliment us when he called us sheep. They're cute little critters. Some of those little babies, they're just, you need to bring her over.
Twins.
Chill up. We had twins.
Twin what?
Sheep. Oh.
About that big when they were born.
Yeah,
I'm
a heart attack.
And the chickens. Bring it over. But he did not give us a compliment when he called us sheep. And the thief's goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The wolf coming in sheep's clothing. You see that? And these all fit quite well into the goals that Satan has. Folks, I don't know if you're aware of it, but our church has been under satanic attack for some time now. Here's the latest. The trailer park that they picked many of these kids up from to bring them to church, the ones that sang for us on Sunday, that trailer park has been sold. Not all the kids know it, but their parents have been given eviction notices. They are on the way out. You know, my understanding is they're going to put a Dollar General or something we really need more of over there in Knightsville. One of the things we really need more of is auto parts stores. Well, we have three. But those kids are excited about being here. They want to be here. They're out waiting for Joe and Annie to stop by and pick them up outside. And they fuss when Joe and Annie are late. Can you imagine all our adult people being like that? But they are so excited about being here. Joe didn't think they were ready to sing that Sunday. I heard them sing in Sunday school. It scared Joe to death when I called them up there to sing. And boy, they let it rip, didn't they? They are excited. They're bringing some life into the church. And that's the new thing for Satan to attack. Shutting it down. I don't know how far they're going to have to drive, but it's going to be a little bit different than picking all these kids up on the way to church now. They're wanting to stay close because of school and all of that, but please be in prayer for them. Satan's goal is to destroy the work of Christ. And we as sheep, we fall for the simplest, most ridiculous things sometimes, and our shepherd is there trying to guard us and protect us. We need to just cling on to him. So the stranger would be a false leader. Somebody who is not a part of the household of faith, not a part of the ones that would be a part of that house. The door, the gate, there, of course, again, is Jesus. He is not only the shepherd, but he's the door. And no man comes into the sheepfold except through him. He is the unique access to the safety of the kingdom of God. He's come to offer life. This is the Lord. And not just life, but to have it more abundantly. You know, the Bible teaches us that we already have inherited the kingdom of Christ. That we are able to sit with him in heavenly places. That's an incredible thought, isn't it? I think about a preacher one time. He said he gets so tired of hearing people singing the sweet by and by, because we live now and all the dirty now and now. But we have victory. Don't you believe that? John writes, he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have victory, not because we can stand up and fight, but because we have submitted ourselves to the shepherd, the one that fights for us. He is our Savior God. The hireling is one who cares little about the sheep. He's the one that will come in and take care of things during the fair weather. But when there's a storm out there, when there are people that are in need, he won't open the doors up because he's afraid they might get the carpet dirty. That sounds like some folks back during the 1,000-year flood. Wouldn't open up the church and let folks in because it might mess up our place. The wolf is any enemy seeking to do harm to God's people. And there are many of them out there. We think sometimes that the wolf is someone who does things physically. But the wolf is a very sly animal. I've only seen one wolf ever in my lifetime out in the wild. I've seen several coyotes. But coyotes are pretty smart too. I'll be sitting in my deer stand and I'll watch through the trees. And I'll see a coyote rustling through, and he'll come up and stop at the corn pile. And he'll sniff just for a second, he'll look, and he's gone. Because they come in just to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the wolf does that. And our children these days are being bombarded with false doctrine. Things that are just not true. And they're being bombarded with sin. Robinson. Is it Tim Robinson in North Carolina? Running for governor. Mark Robinson. I heard another little snippet on one of his ads. He's running for, you pray for that guy. He's a born again believer. And the guy that's running for lieutenant governor, Mashburn. He and I grew up in the same church together in Carthage, North Carolina. But Robinson got up and he said, he preaches like an old country preacher when he gives his thing. He said, I'm here to tell you, if a man walks into a woman's bathroom, he will be arrested. And that's the way it ought to be. But there are so many people out there that are trying to say, well, this is a trans person and they ought to have. And it's a shame, but while adults aren't standing up, the kids are. The kids are. There are teams that are refusing, girls' ball teams that are refusing to play when there's a trans male on the other team, taking a stand. And I thank God we've got some young people that are making a stand for what's right. Just common sense. I remember there was a big to-do when I was in high school. The girls' basketball coach, he had his office. It wasn't in the dressing room. When you went in, there was a little entryway, had an office here and a laundry over here. And then you went past that into the girls' dressing room. But there was a mess put up because our girls' basketball coach, a male, had his office inside the outside door of the girls' dressing room. Not in the dressing room, but in the outside door. And now they're going wacky. And it sort of started with some of the ladies, I think, who thought they just needed to go inside the men's dressing rooms and doing their news reports, their sports reports. So, I mean, we're seeing this on, the world's going crazy. So where do we find safety? We find safety in the fold of the shepherd. I'm almost done with my commentary on James. I did verses 17 and 18 today of chapter 5, where it says that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. But he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again, and it rained. Do you know how Elijah was able to do that? It says he was subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he had a similar nature to all of us guys. I would say he put his pants on one leg at a time, but he didn't have pants. So I'm not sure how all that fits into this. But if you read through that last section of the book of James, the whole book he's talking about people who are hypocritical, who are double-minded, who say one thing and do another, or can't choose between the two, those types of things. When he gets down to the last part of chapter 5, he's talking about what it takes to be a righteous person. And he talks about having prayers answered, praying for the sick, and praying for these other things. But prerequisites to having our prayers answered, first of all, is that we have a right relationship with God. That we are, he says, he was a righteous man, rightly aligned with the standard that God had given. Okay? And you can study that and figure that one out on your own. But the other one is that we pray in Jesus' name. It doesn't mean that we say whatever we want to, as some would suggest. And we get to the end of the prayer, we say, in Jesus' name, sort of like, you know, we're putting our little, pardon me, brother, good luck charm on the end of our prayer. Sorry. But some people do that. I had a lady that fussed at me because I usually don't say in Jesus' name when I pray at the end. Of course, she got me to thinking. I'll pray and say, for Jesus' sake, or, you know, something like that. But she said, your prayers are worthless because you don't say in Jesus' name at the end of your prayer. Missed the whole point. It's a matter of being righteous, and one of my editors wrote me because I had said in Jesus' name meant according to the reputation of Jesus. And he wrote me back and he said, don't you mean in according to the strength and ability? I said, no, because it's all about the reputation of Jesus. If I'm praying and I'm in a right relationship with Jesus, I'm going to be praying the things he wants to happen. And if I pray and it's God's will to answer my prayers the way that, if my prayers are in alignment with his will, they'll be answered every time. Every time. So the ones that we hear people say, well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. And that's all true, but if he says no, I need to go back and figure out what I'm praying that's wrong. Or else I need to find out what in my spirit is wrong. I'm extremely thankful that there were some prayer warriors literally around the world that were right with God when they were praying for me. But the wolf is somebody who's coming in wanting to do his own thing, wanting to abuse the flock, and we just need to be inside that fold, allowing Jesus to have his way, God to have his work, perfect work. There are other sheep from another fold. The Mormons would suggest that he's talking about all the Mormons that are in the New World, which is the world we're living in now. But he's talking about, I believe, those that are not of a Jewish heritage, but are some who will come in having trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's what the good shepherd does. So his choice, he called himself the good shepherd. And when he did that, he implied the fact that he was the Messiah, the one who could actually deliver them. He went beyond the common understanding of Messiah's role into the role of being the shepherd who would lay down his life. Messiah is a word that just simply means the anointed one. He was the one sent from God, and he was God. But at the same time, he was one who would gladly lay down his life. Octavius Winslow, you know, everybody heard of him? No? Never heard of that guy, but I like what he said. He said, who delivered up Jesus to die? Not Judas for money, not Pilate for fear, not the Jews for envy, but the Father for love. Delivered him up. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 10:25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. They had a challenge here, and this is sort of what was going on with that. Jesus was walking around Solomon's porch. I don't know where, by the way, I have looked and looked and looked and looked and looked, can't find 300 wives for David, so I must have been wrong. I missed that Sunday night. That he did have at least eight that we know of that were named, and it says he had concubines. We don't know how many concubines he had, and he had some other wives that were mentioned. I think it was one of my seminary professors that had said that. So when I look at this, I was sensing, and one of my favorite commentators has suggested that Jesus was walking around Solomon's porch probably because it was raining.
Or cold,
because it was covered and all, which are some assumptions.
I think the word there means to dark. It wasn't dark and wasn't a lot fast.
To dart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I said to start.
D-A-R-T.
Thank you. Thank you. I haven't looked that closely into that one, so I don't deny what you're saying at all. But he did say that, you know, it does rain during that time of the year, and there's a lot of, you know, things going on. So I don't really doubt that. But he was there, so it was a rather not confined place, but it was not, you know, all outdoors either. But they surrounded him, demanding him to stay if he was Messiah. And at first, Jesus did not flatly state, I am the Messiah. And I believe this goes along with some of the things that he had stated in other places where, you know, when the disciples asked him about why he taught in parables. And he basically said, because those that believe will understand, and those that don't believe won't understand. So I believe he did not, to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, publicly at this point say he was the Messiah. They were looking for this political military kingdom to be set up. And having been promised that they would have a king that would sit on the throne of David, I'm sure they were looking for somebody along the same lines as what David would have been. And they were looking for liberation from Rome. So many today, I believe, are looking for stuff rather than looking for sacrifice. So the challenge, Jesus never denied his messiahship. As a matter of fact, whenever the title was applied to him, he affirmed it. In John 1, verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And Jesus never denied that to the ones that would believe. He did leave some off in guessing who did not. And then the unvarnished truth, but ye believe not, John 10, 26 and 28. But ye believe not because ye are of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. When I had my garden this past year, and it got toward the end of the garden season, you know, I'd pull the bean things up and throw them over the fence for the sheep. And it got to the point where every time I'd walk out into my garden, the sheep would come running up next to the fence because they were waiting. I'd throw them some pretty good stuff from time to time, you know. But they would hear my voice, and they would come. The horses come when my wife calls them. And now if they see me heading to the shed, they'll come. But we put the hay in little bins, and they'll nose around it and pick it up and shake it, and they'll get about 7 or 8 good mouthfuls, and the rest of it's on the ground. So in the mid-afternoon, we'll go up and pick all the stuff up, put it back up in the bin, and they'll come back, and they'll shake a couple of mouthfuls and on the floor again. But when they see us coming, they come running. Marla, the lady that takes care of feeding in the morning, she gets there about dawn 30. I hardly ever see her. Nancy and Greg and Lindy, they leave a little bit before I do. They'll see her. But whenever her vehicle comes driving up in the yard or somebody's that looks like hers, they all come running. My sheep hear my voice. So when we hear the voice of the Savior, when we recognize something that he's doing, how he's calling us, it's natural for us to go running. To go running to him. And yet so many times we run. I got in trouble for saying this on Facebook one time. But I still believe it's true. When people are in distress, I don't understand why they run away from God rather than run toward God. Why do they run to worldly people and run away from the church? It's almost like they're embarrassed to show people in the church that they're hurting. I don't understand that.
It's the envy.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
They're wealthier. They think they got more power. And the churches are declining. Yeah. Because people are not going to church anymore.
When our daughter died on a Saturday, Sunday we were here, came into that door. This lady right here was the first one to meet us. Right at that door. Remember that, Miss Nancy? Meeting us after Mandy died? Came up and hugged us. And I remember, but there was nowhere else I wanted to be. There are times, and I'm 67 years old now, there are times I wish I could go back hug my mom. I don't think I'm a mama boy, but, you know, she and my dad, there are times I'd like to get on the phone and call my dad up and just ask him something about the Bible. Or something. I mean, he was so good at so many things. Very quiet. But our Savior's good at everything. He's good at comforting, he's good at teaching, he's good at giving to us a reason to live, a purpose, and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's just a shame that we don't. Well, it looks better up here than it does on my computer.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a good example right now. Look at Taylor Swift. Not throwing off on her or anything. She's a young person. She really hasn't lived a life. She's famous and everything. She is influencing kids and young teens and older people for politics and not going to church. She is so strong into people in politics, but she's forgetting completely about her foundation, where she came from. Yeah. And she has let money and everything else go to her head, and she's forgot about the Lord.
She's dabbling in witchcraft, too.
I think so.
Be careful who talks to your kids. Anyway, I have this in your notes, Donna. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can read that later. We need her. This confrontation was different. Previously, Jesus had veiled his claims when speaking with his detractors, but now he openly admits his identity. He wants them to know.
You're not in the... Yeah. Right there.
Yes, ma'am. My landscape thing doesn't work on my phone. Anyway, he admits, John 10:28-30, I don't see how it could get any plainer than this when we're talking about the deity of Christ. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Not just unity, one. We are one and the same. Great statement about the deity of Christ. And this is the Savior, the Shepherd, that we are called to follow. All those names. I tell you what, I think they're going to be, and I may be disappointed too, I don't know. I know I'll be disappointed, but I look around at some of my classmates and see all the stuff they've done for Christ. And I am humbled by looking at what they have done and how they have served the Lord. And one day I'll have to stand before Christ and give an account. I'll have to give an account of what I've taught. I'll have to give an account of how I've studied and how I've applied the Word to my life. I'll have to give an account of how I have treated people, of how I have taken them to the Lord, shown them the way of salvation. I'll have to give an account for that. All of my idle time, what I did with my idle time, when I wasn't really doing anything. What am I doing? But anyway, let me encourage you. Tomorrow night is the ladies' 1 year anniversary for the starting of the Blessed Is She ministry. I think there's well over 50 that have signed up for it. They're going to have chicken tacos and beef tacos, and going to sing some songs and play the bells. We've got our bells in to replace. That's been one of my wife's ministries. We had every song except for about four that the Crystal Bell thing put out. I mean, how many did you have? Like,
I had 62 songs.
62 songs. They only put out about 68 or so, I think. But she had all of those, and the bells, some of them got warped, they don't sound right. So we had to order new bells and order new songs. If you'd like to help with that, that's a great ministry. She started working on Sunday mornings with the kids again. And these little kids that are coming on Sunday morning, they are excited about playing the bells. So, some things to be in prayer about. Consider some of these camps that are going on. We still need some help with financing kids going to camp. I'm not sure how many, but the last count, I think about 19. And we're looking at about $300 a piece. So if you'd like to sponsor somebody in camp, please do that. Father, we thank you for the day and for your blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I pray that you'd help us be a blessing to others. And for what you do in us and through us, we'll give you the praise. For Jesus' sake, amen. All right, prayer sheet.